Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. The Return of Hand-Painted Portraits, today on Advanced. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Advanced Studio Classroom program. Today is January 9th, 2026, and we are covering the art article for this month, which is entitled, Would You Like Your Portrait Painted? I'm Linda, your host, and today I'm joined in the studio by Peter. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Linda. Hey, everyone. Nice to be here.
So to start us off, we're going to get into portraiture and the return of hand-painted portraits, but let me ask you this question. Do you like getting your picture taken?
I do, yeah. I once, when I was little, about 7 or 8 years old, my parents had, me and my sister had our portraits made. The photographer came and took photographs of us and then chose one of them and did a hand sketching, I guess. It wasn't paint with colors and everything. It was just a monochrome black and white sketch, but I liked that. It was, I even liked looking at it as I grew up and just, you know, kind of a chance to see me in a kind of idealized way, because obviously they chose a good picture of both me and my sister in which we both looked appealing and all that. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that says something about my vanity, but I did enjoy it and I still do.
So it was a drawing and then...
Right. First, they took a photograph, and then I think it was the same artist who took the photographs. Then, hand drew that photograph.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay. I never really enjoyed getting my picture taken that much until, well, I just didn't go out of my way to get my picture taken. But after coming to the island, to Taipei, I think my first year here, I had my picture taken like more times than I had in like years, like just my first year here, because everybody loves taking pictures. Like you always have to document the event by taking a group portrait.
Right.
I'd never taken so many group portraits before. And it's almost like required. Like if there is an event, we have to take a picture of everyone at the event. Mm. And so I just got used to getting my picture taken. And even on an event, like on a hike, we'd stop and then take a picture at each viewing point or just along the way. So that was something, I had to get used to.
Well, that's actually a little different from what I thought you were asking, because I thought when you said get your picture taken, I thought you meant just me as opposed to me in a group of people.
Oh, just in any way you took it.
Right,
in
any way at all. Yeah, no, generally I don't mind that, and probably not in either case, really, do I. I don't wake up in the morning wondering how many times I can get my picture taken each day, but I don't mind it.
Mm. And you mentioned the artist depicted you in the most ideal way, and that is what we want in a portrait, right? We don't want a portrait that makes us look less ideal or brings out the traits that we don't necessarily like. So a portrait
is meant to
make you look good.
Sure, sure. Although I imagine there's, you know, some of us out there who would be interested in seeing a more experimental, artistic, so to call, portrait of ourselves in which, you know, not something that we would use for a driver's license, say, or for a testimonial dinner or something, but if it was an artist that we, like, I'd love to have been painted by Picasso, for example. Mm-hmm. And I know, obviously, he would have probably painted nothing like what I see in the mirror, but it would have been interesting from an artistic perspective.
Right. And that's a certain style of art. So you would probably be unrecognizable in his rendering of you and his painting of you. But it would be interesting, to say the least. And so today's topic is about portraiture, the return of people getting their portraits hand-painted. And it's something that has been around for centuries, but it's making a comeback because we are in this digital age. And that is our deck for today. In a digital age, hand-painted portraits are coming back. And we will get into why this is probably making a comeback, but let's listen to our first reading now. Would you like your portrait painted? In a digital age, hand-painted portraits are coming back. A little over 2 years ago, AI avatars took the internet by storm as people flocked to apps which generated idealized portraits of themselves. But in the ever-elusive offline world, another, quieter trend has been bubbling up. Real portraits made by real people. In 2024, the Royal Society of Portrait Painters, headquartered in London, saw a 40% increase in portrait commissions. American clients make up roughly 20% of their total. Since its founding in 1891, the Royal Society of Portrait Painters, also known as RP, has been the society of choice for the British royal family's public and private commissions. Its members have famously painted Queen Elizabeth II, Princess Diana, the Duke of Edinburgh, the Prince and Princess of Wales, and Prince Harry. Notable figures like Dame Judi Dench, Sir David Attenborough, and Stephen Hawking have also been captured on canvas. But the commission service isn't limited to the elite. As long as you have disposable income, anyone can commission a portrait. At a time where AI is squashing many artists, this particular art form is enduring, perhaps as a symbol of our need for tangible human connection. So our paragraph starts off saying a little over 2 years ago, AI avatars took over the internet by storm as people flock to these apps that you could create or generate an idealized portrait of yourself. Did you ever hop on this bandwagon, Peter, like of creating these images? And I remember, like, you could do it in all different forms, like cartoon or like all different styles.
Yeah, I actually passed over this whole thing. I saw all my friends doing it, but then I think I saw some, I heard secondhand somewhere about how it's often a way to get you to enable some app to get your information or something. And so I know, you know, that it was just trying to sort of set you up to get you
connected. To get your information.
To get your information,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, you saw by this gimmick. As a bit of a scam.
Like those quizzes, you know, take this quiz and find out how smart you are or how funny you are or something. And most of these are on Facebook. I don't explore a whole lot of social media, but most of these are on Facebook. And I just thought, you know, okay, that's cute. Yeah, here's what my friend would look like if they were a character in The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Great. But not if it means that some data center somewhere is getting my information or anything like that. So I kind of passed on it. But I was aware of it. And I like that phrase in the line here describing it. AI avatars took the internet by storm, which means, you know, like a storm, big and violent and wild, this trend of having AI do an avatar of you, do a picture of you, was very, very popular. It took the internet by storm.
Yeah, so many people were doing this. Yeah. And I did notice that a lot of people were posting pictures of themselves. And I thought it was cute. I didn't necessarily do it myself, not because I thought it was a scam or the companies are trying to get information from me, but I just, yeah, I tend to not jump on the bandwagon of trends or things that are popular at the moment. But I did think it was cute. And there was also like an app that you could age yourself or make yourself younger.
Yes, saw that one too.
And some friends did that because it was just with them. And it's cute. But again, you are anything that we do on the internet or on social media, you are giving up of your information, like your biometrics, because you have to upload a picture of yourself.
Exactly.
So yeah. You're just Yeah, giving more information about yourself.
No, if there were no strings attached, you know, I would take an afternoon and try all of those. You know, here's what you would look like as a member of the opposite sex. You know, here's what you would look like as a as an ancient Greek philosopher or something. You know,
that'd
be fun. But not if it means, you know, that the next day I'm going to get all this spam and whatnot.
Right. And also AI, the environmental toll that it takes, like every single time you use it, every picture that you fashion into like a Simpsons portrait or whatever, it is using resources. So that's another reason that I didn't jump on that bandwagon. But let's continue with the next sentence, which is a contrast to that first sentence and using AI, but in the real world, right? The ever elusive offline world, this trend of portraiture, getting your portrait made, is happening. And what does it mean, Peter, the ever elusive offline world?
Yes, well, the meaning of elusive can be a little elusive itself, but it means, it's based on the word to elude, which means basically to resist being caught by, resist catching. The criminal eluded the police by, you know, driving real fast or taking a special route home from the scene of the crime. In this case, elusive, best way to think about it, just means something that is difficult to pin down, to really say, okay, this means this and nothing else, or it means this and nothing else. If something is elusive, it can be hard to find, hard to put borders around, hard to grasp. And in this case, it's referring to the offline world, which is to say reality, human existence, away from the internet, which in its complexity it can be hard to pin down. It can be elusive. And it's hard also to see everything that's going on in the offline world because so much is going on in the offline world. That's one thing I think that draws us back to the internet is that it has a tendency to simplify things a bit by saying, here's what's going on in this area, here's what's going on in this area, and you can see it all just by scrolling down. And you feel like you have a sense of everything that's going on in the world, but offline, the real world is elusive.
Yes, it's very, and can also be very different from the real world, the offline world, because what you're seeing online is very manicured. It is what people want you to see. And so I also think that this offline, well, this word of elusive could also mean something that, yeah, you can't grasp, you don't know about. Like an elusive person is someone that is hard to see, hard to find. Like they just stay away from other people, right? So this trend has been bubbling up. And if something is bubbling, like if water is boiling, it's bubbling. And so this is coming to the surface. This trend, but it's a much quieter trend because you don't see it all over the internet, right? This is in the offline world. We move on to read that. In 2024, the Royal Society of Portrait Painters, they are headquartered in London, they saw a drastic increase in the amount of portrait commissions, a 40% increase. And a commission is basically a job. It's more formal, but it's a request for an artist to do something. So you paint a picture, to make a sculpture, and they are paid for it. And how many American clients made up this increase?
Right. Well, it was roughly 20%. Of that 40% increase in portrait commissions, roughly 20% were American clients.
Okay.
So Americans, you know, still not big into the art. I mean, that means 80% of them were from the rest of the world. But
or also, I mean, it's headquartered in England, so they would have to fly over there. So
that
eliminates a good portion of the U.S. population, you know, who would make that trip to get their portrait painted, who could afford that or have the time. So since its founding in 1891, the Royal Society of Portrait Painters, also known as RP, they have been the society of choice for whom, Peter?
For the British royal families, public and private commissions.
Okay. So they are who the royal family went to get their portraits done, either for private pictures or portraits or public portraits. And
That's a good clientele to have.
Yes.
Yeah. The king and queen of England, basically.
And their whole family.
Yeah,
that would keep them busy all the time. So famous people painted from the royal family include Queen Elizabeth II, Princess Diana, the Duke of Edinburgh, the Prince and Princess of Wales, Prince Harry. Those are all members of the royal family.
Yep.
And very well known. And other people, other famous or notable
right.
people include?
Other notable figures. Good word for people there. Someone is a figure. It's kind of a way of saying they're more than just a person. They are a figure. Notable figures like Dame Judi Dench, one of the great preeminent actresses of the English-speaking world. Sir David Attenborough, who you may know from his many nature documentaries. This is not Richard Attenborough, the guy who played the inventor in the first Jurassic Park movie. This is his brother, David Attenborough. And also Stephen Hawking, the famous nuclear physicist scientist who wrote that book, The Brief History of Time. And he's also known for having that Lou Gehrig's disease, that nerve disease that forced him to go through much of his life in a wheelchair, but did not disturb his mind and his ability to think. All these notable figures, and presumably others, have also been captured on canvas. It's also had their portraits painted.
Mm-hmm. So the medium, the material, right, is canvas that their portrait is painted on. But the commission service isn't limited to the elite. And the elite, we just mentioned, the royal family, famous actors, actresses.
Notable figures.
Yes, public figures. Yeah. Famous people. Anyone who has disposable income, who has enough money, can also commission a portrait. So that's good that it's not so exclusive anymore.
Right. Although, as it says, you do still need that lovely phrase, disposable
yes,
income.
You need a certain amount of income to be able to afford your portrait.
Basically means, yeah, money that you can just dispose of and not worry too much about if you're getting anything back from it because there's more to come or something.
Right. But before, like just the name, the Royal Society of Portrait Painters, you had to be part of the elite or you had to have a certain status to have your portrait painted by them. But now it just takes money.
Exactly.
So at a time where AI is squashing many artists, this particular art form is enduring. So let's talk about this phrase, squashing many artists. First of all, what do they mean by squash here?
Right. Well, squash in its basic meaning just means to, you know, crush something, mm-hmm. to crush it, destroy
literally,
it.
Yeah, literally, crush, to flatten something.
Yeah,
right?
To flatten it. Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. And so the idea that AI is squashing many artists, you know, in a broader sense, to squash something means to use a power or authority that you may have to stop something. And so it's kind of an opinionated view, an opinionated statement to say that AI is squashing many artists because it suggests that AI has intentions and, you know, is deliberately trying to do this when, you know, really, if you pull back a little bit, it's just more people are gravitating towards having AI portraits of themselves done because it's easy, it's novel, it's cool.
I can also see it objectively because AI is there and it has this ability or these functions that it's just... it's defeating the real artists out there because
right.
they aren't getting as many jobs. And I personally
right.
know artists, like designers, who, yeah, they have less work because of AI. Like now you can just use AI to get a drawing of yourself, a picture of yourself instantly. You don't have to pay someone to do it or
right.
get someone to do it.
Right.
So AI has affected many artists. And it is a controversial topic, but in this time where AI is defeating many artists, this particular art form is enduring, portraiture, perhaps because it's a symbol of our need for tangible human connection. That's an important part. AI doesn't provide that, right?
It's, exactly.
It does not provide human connection, and so portraiture does. So let's move on to hear the second reading of our article. Portraits Through Time. Portraits, like art more broadly, have long been seen as a mirror to society. Before the camera was invented, the only way to record someone's likeness was to paint or sculpt a portrait of them. But portraits were never just a record. They were signifiers of wealth, taste, and power. In ancient Rome, they were used to commemorate the dead and assert lineage. One of the first portraits to depict a merchant couple from the middle ranks of society appeared during the Renaissance, when the focus expanded from rulers, nobility, and clergy to wealthy merchants, bankers, and scholars. Today, portraiture remains intertwined with global politics and economic tides. It's no secret that many of our clients are brokers, bankers, hedge fund managers, people whose decisions are deeply affected by how the market is going, says Martina Morelli, Fine Art Commissions Manager at the Royal Society of Portrait Painters. Okay, you mentioned portraiture has been around for centuries. And what has it long been seen as?
Yeah, it's a good phrase here. It's long been seen as a mirror to society. So you look at the portraits of people throughout history, and that gives you a sense of the society in which they lived, of the values mm-hmm. of that society, the visual appearance, the fashion sense of that society. And sometimes if you look more deeply at a portrait, you can see a reflection of cultural values, cultural beliefs, relationships between the genders, all just in a portrait, perhaps in a group portrait more clearly. But yeah, a mirror to society. That's mm-hmm. a useful phrase.
Yes. And before the camera was invented, the only way to record someone's likeness was to paint them or to sculpt a portrait of them. And this would take weeks, months, like for sculpture, maybe years. And you would have to sit for hours and hours. So it's not something that you could instantly have like we do today. Just take a snap, a digital snap, and there you have, you can transform that photo into many different styles like in seconds. So it was very different back then. But portraits were never just a record. They were also what?
They were signifiers of wealth, taste, and power. Signifier, you can see the root word there, sign, S-I-G-N. So a signifier is a sign. It is an indication of something that has a meaning for a greater idea. This could be a sound or a word or an image, like a portrait. And if you had your portrait painted, it signified, it was a sign that you had wealth, mm-hmm. that you had taste, artistic sensibility, and that you had power.
Right.
It was a very high status signifier.
Exactly. And in ancient Rome, portraits were used to commemorate the dead, to honor or remember the dead, and also assert lineage. And this word, what does it mean, Peter?
Right. Well, lineage refers to your family and who you are descended from, who your ancestors are. And so often, in ancient Rome particularly, a portrait would be painted to assert lineage, to establish the fact that you were, in fact, the son of the son mm-hmm. of whomever.
Right, yeah. So you had ancestors.
Exactly.
Portraits of all of your ancestors.
Right.
And we see that today, like in people's houses, they have portraits of their great-grandparents, their great-great-great-grandparents.
Right,
yeah,
right.
So to assert that lineage, to show this is my heritage, this is my ancestry, the people who I came from. And one of the first portraits to depict a merchant couple from the middle ranks of society appeared during the Renaissance. And this, it was a shift from just rulers, nobility, and clergy getting their portraits done to wealthy merchants and bankers and scholars also getting their portraits done. It's because they now had the money and the status to do that. And so today, portraiture remains intertwined with global politics and economic tides. And this word intertwined means deeply connected. It's still very connected as it was in the past, like to politics and to the economy. And what does Martina Morelli say?
Right. She has this nice quote here. It's no secret that many of our clients, many of the people who have their portraits painted, are brokers, stockbrokers, bankers, hedge fund managers, people whose decisions are deeply affected by how the market is going. And that's a great way to understand that phrase at the beginning of the sentence, economic tides. We think of a tide as just with the ocean. You know, the tide comes in and it goes back out, but we can use it figuratively as well to talk about economic tides and right. when the market goes up, goes down.
Exactly.
And so in a way, things, you know, haven't changed that much
right.
in 2,000 years. Portraiture is still a matter of something that indicates wealth, taste,
yeah,
and power.
Yeah, it's still a signifier yeah. of wealth and status, but you don't have to be a noble person. You don't have to be someone really high in society to get your portrait done, but it
right.
still signifies, you still have to have a certain amount of wealth and you want it to convey something. And so portraiture still retains those purposes as it did in the past. Unfortunately, this is all the time that we have for today, but come back tomorrow because we will continue this article on portraiture. But for now, I'm Linda.
I'm Peter.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.